Bitcoin is back to its all-time high. What is driving the price? Welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. I'm Nick Bhatia. Bitcoin had a very strong session and it is hitting levels close to 73,000. We are a razor-thin margin away from new all-time highs. So I want to start here with a chart, but what I want to do today is explain how Bitcoin is reacting to the prospect of more government deficits. All right, let's start with the chart. Now, you see a descending yellow trend line here connecting the March highs to the April highs to the May, June highs. Then again in late July, we have had this descending lower highs trend in Bitcoin since March. Over the last couple weeks, we have flagged for you at the Bitcoin Layer that Bitcoin's price is now right up against that resistance, and it is actually breaking above, retesting, and setting up for either a confirmation or a fail. It does appear, I don't want to ring the bell too loudly just quite yet, but it does appear that Bitcoin has broken out of its consolidation wedge, and the price action over the last 48 hours, to me, is an initial confirmation. Now, why is this so important? Because from a price perspective, when a price consolidates over a long period of time, it is a sign that buyers and sellers are uncertain at what price the fair value of that asset is. When an asset breaks above a recent or a local all-time high, it is going to be in what we call price discovery. And that is really what Bitcoin excels at, is when it's in price discovery, man, it really gets off to the races. So we're watching. The setup is magnificent. Of course, we don't provide investment advice at the Bitcoin Layer. What we do is provide you independent research. That allows us to tell you that the setup is bad for Bitcoin or good for Bitcoin, just based off of the facts. Right now, from a risk management perspective, Bitcoin breaking above its descending wedge here and getting out into some free area is a very bullish setup. With today's macro landscape, many people are worried that they are not saving enough for retirement. Now you can grow your retirement savings with a tax-advantaged Bitcoin IRA using Unchained. The Unchained IRA is the only solution that allows you to hold your own private keys in an IRA vehicle. Right now, Unchained is running an amazing deal for you guys where you can get started with their IRA for no setup fees and no fees for the first year. You can roll over traditional IRAs or other 401k accounts into this new Unchained IRA, and they can help you set up everything. Go to unchained.com/TBL and experience true ownership over your retirement. Now, there's one thing driving the Bitcoin price right now, we believe. It's government spending, and it's coming from two sources. On one side, the Chinese government has announced very large stimulus programs over the last few weeks. We saw a headline recently that we covered in which China said it would be issuing about 6 trillion Chinese yuan worth of bonds. That's about $1 trillion. And in that effort, the Chinese government will be borrowing and spending that money into the economy. On the other side, we have the United States situation and the prospect of Donald Trump returning to the White House in a few weeks' time. That projection, which we have also made here as early as October 11th at the Bitcoin Layer, is something that we believe will bring larger deficits. So with those larger deficits, whether they come from new spending programs, larger tax cuts, or a combination of the two, we believe that large deficits in the United States are in our future, as well as China spending in terms of borrowing and spending and creating that new money. So what I have for you today is a balance sheet setup in which we're going to go through how the government borrows and spends money. And when it does that, it's printing money. And that's the key that we have to understand. Forget about the Fed, which we are going to discuss a lot over the next several months as the Fed probably moves from quantitative tightening and a shrinking balance sheet to quantitative easing and a growing balance sheet. That will happen, but that is not the conversation for today. Today, we want to talk about the government. In the United States, it's the Congress that passes the budget and the president that signs it. In China, it comes from the Chinese Communist Party. From these two sources, we will see borrow and spend until the eyes bleed. And with the type of spending that we believe that we'll see from all around the world, it's not just the US and China, it will only do one thing to the aggregate price level. It will raise it. It will also increase TBL liquidity. Now, I recommend that you guys go subscribe at thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe to our free research publication and consider becoming a pro so that you can follow along our analysis on our new metric, TBL liquidity. This new metric, it measures the size of the banking system, interest rates, and bond volatility, and combines them for an actionable metric that has a very strong correlation with the S&P 500, which we know has a rolling and very historically strong correlation with Bitcoin. So in terms of TBL liquidity, a borrow and spend environment, it only does one thing. It increases the size of the banking system. But the banking system can grow from the central bank, the Fed. It can also grow from the banking system. And the banking system is the assistance to the government in its borrow and spend efforts. And that is what I want to show you today with a T-chart approach so we can break down exactly what I'm talking about and how this money appears as if from nowhere. Okay, so this is what we are going to do here. We are going to break down an example of how the government borrows and spends money. And when it does that, if the borrow and spend is assisted by the commercial banking system expanding, it is brand new money that comes into the system really at almost no risk or cost even to the bank itself. And I want to show you how that happens. So we start with the modular approach because the reason that we do this is when we think about the government and the private sector here, what you see on the last line, the government and the private sector is actually an oversimplification for how the Fed, the Treasury Department, banks, primary dealers, money market funds, and households all interact. But instead of breaking it down too much, we are not going to use this line today because I don't want to talk about the Fed, and I'm going to show you why. So let's start here. The TGA, guys, this is the U.S. government, okay? So this is the TGA stands for Treasury General Account. So this is the U.S. government here, the TGA. The household here today, I am going to say that the household in this example is Raytheon. Now, for those of you that don't know, Raytheon is a weapons manufacturer that has large contracts here in the United States. And Raytheon often receives these funds from the government when it borrows and spends. And so I want to use Raytheon here as our example. Now, in this example, this is something key that we're going to try to understand here. The financial sector, I'm going to use Citibank as the example company here in between the Treasury Department and Raytheon, but this is absolutely essential for you guys to understand here for the purpose of this example. Raytheon banks at Citi, and If you connect Raytheon with Citi, that Raytheon here in this example, this is a fictional example, but this is how it actually works throughout the system. If we assume that Raytheon banks at Citibank, then we can begin to understand how this money does appear as if from nowhere. All right, so here's what we are going to do. I'm going to show you the Treasury auction part of the process, okay? So the Treasury auction is when the Treasury issues a new liability. So we'll call this the plus T bill here. Okay, so what does the government get when it issues a T bill? It gets cash. And how does the government deal with cash? It has an account at the Fed. That's what the Treasury General account is. So the government gets money and it places that money at the Fed. So we get a plus reserves over here at the TGA. Now, who buys the T-bill? In this example, we are assuming Citi buys it. But I'm not going to write that part down yet, okay? Because I want to show you what happens to these reserves. The government actually spends them. So it has plus reserves and it has minus reserves. Now, who gets those reserves? Well, Raytheon is going to be receiving these funds when the government borrows and spends. So if Raytheon is getting the funds, who does Raytheon bank with? Raytheon banks with Citi. So if I tell you that the government is going to spend the reserves here, they actually show up where? They show up here, plus deposits. Raytheon gets a deposit where? At Citi. Okay? Then how does Citi match its book? Instead of reserves, it buys a T-bill. And that is the key to understand here. So let me also just show you here that when the Raytheon Corporation receives these deposits, what happens to the other side of the balance sheet here? Does Raytheon all of a sudden have a new debt? No, it's receiving new money. So even though that money might go to expenses, the equity portion of Raytheon will increase because it assumes that these deposits are in some way going to filter down into retained earnings, which ends up as equity or net worth. So when the government borrows and spends here by issuing a T-bill, it sends deposits here to Raytheon and creates new net worth. Reserves, now here's the key to understand. Reserves are not part of the equation here. And that's why the Fed is not involved in this process, guys. So even though I had reserves over here and over here and over here, the reserves are not involved in this process because the Treasury borrows and spends money to Raytheon and Citibank buys the T-bill all within the same few days so as to make all the reserve settlement or interbank settlement between banks and the Fed or the government and the Fed, it makes them completely not relevant. And that's what I really wanted you guys to understand here. So I know that this was a lot. I'm going to start over and give you guys a quick summary of what we just discussed so that you can follow along a little bit closer. Okay, so let's start again and summarize what we have learned today. We're going to be on this line and we're not going to use the Fed. The Treasury Department here, this is the government, it issues a T-bill. Okay? And when it issues that T-bill, it uses the money immediately and gives it to Raytheon. Raytheon receives that money in the form of a deposit. Raytheon, when it gets a new deposit, gets new net worth. And by the way, this new net worth is where all the money comes from that goes into assets and ends up driving up asset prices. So the bullish Bitcoin thing is the existence of this new net worth as if from nowhere. Okay. So the Treasury issues the bill, it spends it to Raytheon. Raytheon gets a deposit and new net worth. Raytheon's deposit is on the balance sheet of Citi. And Citi grows its balance sheet by absorbing that T-bill from the government. Now, what happens to the government's balance sheet? Where's the offset to the T-bill? It's basically a minus net worth. Because why? The government goes into larger debt. So we know that the debt of the government right now is around $35 trillion. That number goes up when this process happens. Thanks for watching this episode today in which we go through a balance sheet approach to explain to you guys why when the government borrows and spends its brand new money that comes from nowhere, and that brand new money is new net worth, and where does that net worth go? It goes into assets like stocks and like Bitcoin. And when we see Bitcoin scratching up against the surface of another all-time high, we just want to base you in reality that the reason Bitcoin is going up is not because of Donald Trump returning to the White House per se. It can be a catalyst, but the real reason is borrow and spend. Okay, borrow and spend happens whether the president is a Democrat or a Republican, whether the House is split or it is on the side of the president. Borrow and spend happens in China no matter what goes on, because the Chinese Communist Party has a mandate to satisfy the people of China with a good economy. And so when the economy falters, it's going to spend money for stimulus. So borrow and spend is a truth that is with us no matter what political environment we are in. It's the reality of our economic times. And the reality of our economic times is Bitcoin, because it's the only way to truly express what we are showing you on this balance sheet approach, which is money printing, money creation by banks combined with governments, even leaving the central banks out of it entirely. When we layer in the central banks, that is going to be the next catalyst or the next level of explosion for Bitcoin's price. We'll catch you guys next time.